The Book of John, Chapter 9. As Joshua passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. As his disciples asked him, "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Joshua answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Commentary Note 33. The work Joshua is referring to in these verses is miracles. When the light left the world, it got dark. Night came. And when night came, no one could or can do the works of the light, which are miracles. The work of miracles that Joshua did was to validate who Joshua was. That was their primary purpose. And with that purpose fulfilled, the night came when Joshua left and went to go be back with the Father, and thus, quote, "no one can work miracles." There are no miracles after Joshua went back to be with the Father. Continuing in the text, verse 6. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. He said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the blind one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Joshua made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the religious leaders the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on that day when Joshua made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the religious leaders also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the religious leaders were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." See John chapter 5, verse 17. But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him, and that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight, and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the religious leaders and their congregants, for they had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Messiah, he was to be put out of the local religious organization or synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was born blind, I now see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They got very angry at him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." So the man answered and said to them, "Well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard of that anyone open the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? So they threw him out. Joshua heard that they had thrown him out of the temple, and finding him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe him? Joshua said to him, You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he bowed down before him. And Joshua said, For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Those of the religious leaders who were near him heard these things and said to him, We are not blind too, are we? Joshua said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, We see, your sin remains. Commentary note 34. Those who do not see, quote unquote, the humble, powerless, ignored, used, meek, may see their hope and life. Those who see, those looked to as the brightest of humanity, the intellectual elite, those in power who love their world and who are proud of their positions and their religion and politics and science and technology and laws, may become blind to Joshua's way. Verse 41 says, quote, We see the proud people who think they know what life is about, even while they ignore the light instead, and instead hold to their religious traditions and doctrine, and thus remain guilty and unjustified. The book of John, chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the pen of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd. Commentary note, shepherd is translated from the Greek term poimen, which is wrongly and interestingly translated elsewhere in the New Testament as, quote, pastor, unquote. See Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, for example. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he lets all his sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Joshua spoke to them, but they did not understand that what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Joshua said to them again, Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Commentary note 35. Eternal life is abundant life, not the material wealth or the other things of the world or flesh that the religious leaders and their followers like to corrupt this saying to mean. Returning to text, verse 11. I am the good shepherd pastor. The good shepherd pastor lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, who insists on being paid money to, quote, care for the sheep, I like religious leaders, and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Commentary note 36. Only the Son of Man and his Father own the sheep people, not religious leaders. Returning to text, verse 13. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned enough about the sheep. I am the good shepherd pastor, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, that is non-Jews, which are not of this fold, the fold of Israel. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd pastor. Commentary note 37. Paul's teachings in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 is in direct contradiction to this teaching of Joshua, and thus seeks to nullify the Good Shepherd pastor's words. Who are you going to listen to and follow? Paul says that God has given many shepherd pastors. Joshua says that only he, and no one else, is the one Good Shepherd pastor who knows his sheep. Also, please note that Joshua's flock is one flock, not the thousands of divisions of Christianity, and one shepherd pastor, only one, Joshua. Returning to text, verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon or bad angel and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" At the time the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Joshua was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Joshua answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Commentary note 38. Quote, "My sheep hear my voice," not the voice of religious leaders or Bible authors or scholars, "and they follow me, not anyone else, not Pastor Wonderful or Minister Marvelous, etc. ad nauseam." Returning to text, verse 28. "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Commentary note 39. This verse is often used to support the Trinity doctrine. Given that Joshua makes a clear distinction between himself and his Father, saying, quote, "his Father," unquote, is greater than all, including himself, just prior to the last statement, it is only reasonable to understand the last statement to be referring to their unity in purpose in protecting the sheep. Without a Trinity doctrine to bias a reader, in this author's opinion, no one would conclude from reading verses 25 through 30 that the last statement means that my Father and Joshua are the same person or being. Returning to text, verse 31. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Joshua answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Joshua answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, quote, 'I said you are gods'?" Unquote. If he called them gods, referring to the judges at Moses' time, who could cause the death or life of someone they were judging, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, why do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, "You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God"? Commentary note 40. Joshua is rebuking the Jews' claim that he, quote, "makes himself out to be God," and replies, quote, "I am the Son of God, sent from the Father into the world." A clearer rebuke of the Trinity doctrine is hard to find. Of course, referring to his Father many dozens of times throughout the gospel is the stronger natural rebuke to a strange doctrine that his Father and he are the same person or same God. Again, the purpose of the Trinity doctrine is to make the common or, quote, lay people dependent upon the religious leaders to understand God. Returning to the text, verse 37. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Commentary note 41. Joshua calls people who refuse to believe his words to believe him based on the validation he provides, quote, the works or miracles. Who else in history performed miracles to validate his or her person or message? No one has in a genuine, authentic way. Thus, Joshua provides proof that he is the designer, creator's messenger. Returning to text, verse 39. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. Many believed in him there.